Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Study through these and look at them very in depth over the next, really, I don't have a definite set time because we're going to study it until we get it. We're going to study it until we understand it, because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, which is our starting point for all of this, Paul is very clear, and this is really what we went over more than anything last week, is he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, speaking to the church, I do not want you to be ignorant. If you remember last week, that word ignorant means not sure. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be unsure regarding the gifts that God has given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And listen, some people wonder, what do I need to do to get the baptism? All you got to do is ask. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. It says in the book of Acts, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word power is the word dunamis, and it's where we get our word dynamite. It's like an explosive power that comes in you through the baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And through living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and we should walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also then walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That as we walk in step and in communion with the Holy Spirit, He will produce through us the gifts that He has given to us. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll find those is in verse 8 through 11. Those 9 gifts, they can be at work, every single one of them. I want you to know this, because some people have this wonder, this thought, do I just have one gift of the Spirit? I believe that every single believer that is filled with the Spirit can operate in any of the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because it's the Spirit working through you. He gives them severally as He wills. And so I want to see that activated and operating in each and every one of our lives. And it all comes back to this, desire, desire, desire. The reason, I talked about this last week, the reason the church, most by and at large, does not operate in the gifts of the Spirit is because of ignorance and because of lack of desire. It's because we don't know how to use them, why we should use them, when we should use them, if we should use them. Can we use them at command? Can we only use them when He gives the utterance? We have all these questions, and hopefully through this study, I'll be able to answer questions that you have. But even if you have extra questions, we may even take one week where you can text in questions throughout the week, and then we'll try to answer them through the week. Because what I don't want is for us to leave this study on the gifts of the Spirit, and you still have questions and have wondering, because the Bible says He doesn't want us to be ignorant. So if He doesn't want us to be ignorant, that means He told us everything that we need to know about it, because God will never command what you cannot perform. So He's not going to tell you to not be ignorant and then leave you without what you need to be equipped and to have all of the knowledge that you need to walk out the gifts of the Spirit. So last week, I gave those of you that were here, which was not as many as this that I'm looking at tonight, there weren't as many, so some of you are going to be exempt from this because you were not present last week, but last week I gave some of you some homework. Now, some people just got nervous and some people just got excited when I said that. The people that did it got excited. The people that didn't went, oh no, I forgot to do that. Don't worry, you're not being graded on it yet. We'll save that for the end, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But the homework was that you would go home and that you would read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and that you would memorize the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Because I talked about last week how it's almost impossible for us to use something that we don't know anything about, right? If I found out that I had, I can't, you know, spend money that I don't know that I have. But trust me, if I know I have it, then I can spend it, right? Anybody else like that? But you can't spend money you don't know you have. And it's the same thing with the gifts. Some people are ignorant, and the Bible says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so we need to know, what are the gifts of the Spirit? We need to be able to name those 9 gifts of the Spirit. So that was your homework from last week, is to read that. And because the Bible says we don't need to be ignorant. And it is to our shame that we do not better know the Scripture, that we do not better know God And that we do not better know His Son, Jesus Christ, and we do not better know the Holy Spirit. That's to our shame. We should constantly, daily be getting growing closer and closer. It's like today, my wife and I have been married for 9 years and whatever months. It's not our anniversary. It's not our anniversary. Thank you, though. That's very sweet. I mean, it's amazing that she has managed to stay married to me this long, okay? So it really is a great, great thing. And even more so amazing is how... Yeah, she stayed married to me. I'm not gonna flip that joke around because I'll get in trouble. But we've been married for 9 years. Well, guess what? I know her better today, and she knows me better today than 9 years ago when we met. Why? Because we've spent time together. We've grown in relationship together. One of my favorite scriptures right now, and then we'll get into this, is actually in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 14. It might be 13. There might only be 13 chapters in there. 16, 2 Corinthians, oh no, I'm still in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, it is 13 chapters. Verse 14, it says this, I've been meditating on this, chewing on this. I don't know why, but I just felt the Holy Spirit lay this on my heart to share this scripture with you. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen is not a period. It's not the end to a sentence that you form and say unto God. Amen means so be it. So he's saying everything I just said to you, I want it to take place. I want it to be so. But listen to this. I've been praying this. I've been praying it for you. I've been praying it for me. And I want to encourage you to focus on this. We can have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have the love of God the Father in communion. This is really what I've been meditating on, the communion with the Holy Spirit. That word communion is the Greek word koinonia, and it just means fellowship. I want you to realize, as we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, cannot be at work unless there's communion with the Holy Spirit, because they come from Him and they come through Him. It's not something that He, and this is where so many people get it wrong. They think they have the gifts. You have access to the gifts, but they are not your gifts. They are His gifts. And we are not to use them to prop ourselves up, put ourselves up, make a profit off of. They are His gifts. Now, there are motivational gifts that you will find in the book of Romans chapter 12 that God has given to you. And if you'll go back, if you'll skip back a little bit, Romans 11, 29 says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Or some translations say they are irrevocable. Those are gifts that God intertwined into the very being of who you are that you can operate in whether you're saved or you're not saved. I'll give you an example. Mercy gift. That's one of the gifts and the motivational gifts. If you're a mercy person, whether you're saved or not, you are going to be compassionate towards mankind, and probably if you're unsaved, you're going to spend your life trying to save the whales and the beat up dogs and the beat up cats instead of saving souls. Why? Because there is a mercy gift that He put inside of you that you don't have to come to Him in order to use. But spiritual gifts can only come through communion with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's focus this week on how do I commune with the Holy Spirit? You commune with someone, number one, by talking to them. Okay. So talk to the Holy Spirit. Remember this, the Holy Spirit is not in heaven. He's in you. Okay? The Holy Spirit was given as a comforter, as a corrector, as a teacher. He is living, dwelling inside of you. Jesus said, I am going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to come and be with you. So when you speak to the Holy Spirit, you're not speaking to some far-off being, and you're not speaking to an it. You're speaking to a spirit that is living and dwelling inside of you, okay? So keep that in mind. And let's not be ignorant concerning the gifts that He gives us. Some people are missing out. Some churches are missing out. Some Christians are missing out on the gifts of the Spirit purely out of ignorance. And one of my jobs and my responsibility as a pastor is to feed you with the Word of God. Not just to stand up here and say catchy things that sound good or make you feel good, but to give you the Word of God. And I believe that you can't have too much of the Word. And you'll notice sometimes on Sunday mornings, I'll read 20, 25 verses out of Scripture. That's not because I couldn't think of anything else to say. That's because I don't want you to miss what this book is saying. I don't want to ever think that what I say is more important than what God says in His Word and in His book. And so that's why we look to the Word. So for those of you who did not do your homework or you weren't here to receive your homework, you have a pass on this. I'm about to do it for you. Okay? For those of you that did do your homework, you're going to get a double portion. Because the Lord put it on my heart last week to read to you 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So if you have your Bible, or you have it on your phone, you have it on your tablet, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We're going to read all 84 verses. Why? Because some of you probably didn't do your homework. Some of you didn't know we were going to do it. And the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, I want you to read to them the entire passage. Why? Because this will give you more understanding, more instruction than any person could ever give you. I want to look to the Word of God, okay? And so if we're going to start, we're going to start with God's Word, okay? I don't want to just pull a verse here and pull a verse there and tell you a little bit about what this thinks, what I think this says and what I think this means or what this person said about it. But let's read the Word of God together. And I want you to see this is scriptural. This is something that Jesus would do. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, meaning as he regularly did in his life, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus would literally go to the synagogue, which in our culture today would be the church, and he would just stand up and read the Bible, and then he would close it and hand it back to the attendant. We have that record in Scripture, and all he said after it was, today the Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So it's scriptural to read the Word of God. In fact, Paul said when he wrote different epistles, he said, make sure that this epistle is read in the hearing of everybody and make sure you pass it on to so-and-so. There was another one that he says, I bind you to read this together. And so we're going to read the Word of God together. So this is not a time filler. This is not a time waster. I'm going to ask everyone to be attentive. If you have your Bible, follow along with me. I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're going to read all of these together. I'm not going to even teach very much beyond this tonight because I know we have children in here. I know some people have school tomorrow morning. I'm not going to keep you very, very long. I do not want to monopolize your time. So I very quickly, after I read through this, am just going to share a few thoughts with you. But the main thing that I want to do tonight is read this portion of Scripture together. So Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm still in 2 Corinthians. Give me a moment. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. In our unpresentable parts, have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at the giving of your thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, give thanks well. I'm sorry, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all these things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that you all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not an author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let them be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things done be decently and in order. All right. Hope everybody, I couldn't look up to see if people were engaged or not, so I hope everybody was there with me the whole time. But here's why I wanted to read those three chapters to you all at once. Because I wanted you to ingest them all at once. I wanted you to hear from 12:1 to 14:40 all the way through everything that Paul was saying in one sitting. I've come to realize that if I want to understand the context of an epistle that Paul wrote, I need to read it from start to finish as much as I can in one sitting. If you want to understand what is Paul saying in the book of Ephesians, don't just read Ephesians 1 and then next day read Ephesians 2 and the next day read Ephesians 3. Read the whole thing at one time. You will get a much better understanding because you'll be coherent to realize, oh, he said that after he said this, and he said this because he said that. And so I wanted you to ingest it all as once. And just as I said last week, we are not in a hurry to get through this study on the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to take our time. We're going to slow down. Because part of the problem with the church, I've said this, I'll say it again, is we are overfed and undernourished. Meaning we're just dumped food and dumped the food. And when by food, I mean being sermons and being taught the word. But we're not given time to digest it. Do you remember when you were growing up, after you would eat, they would say, don't get back in the swimming pool, right? How many of you remember? That was the worst 15 minutes of your life as a child, right? Don't get in the swimming pool. Why? You got to let your food digest. Well, we so rarely digest the word that God gives us. We just take it and we just go on and we just get to moving. But we need to take time as we work through this. And in fact, I was meeting with Pastor Frankie Powell. Many of you guys know Pastor Frankie. I was meeting with him this morning and I told him that. I said, Pastor Frankie, I feel like the Lord has shown me that the church as a whole is overfed and undernourished. And he said, the way Pastor Frankie does, he said, yeah, yeah. And then he said, and they're overexposed and underdeveloped. And I said, that's a good word. I said, and I called him later. I said, can I share that with the church tonight? He said, son, you absolutely can. And because we have so much exposure to the things of God, but if we were to take a good look at ourselves, we would realize we're probably underdeveloped. When we take our children to the doctor, they will put them on, you know, a scale of their what is their development. They should, at 3 years old, they should be doing this and this and this and this. Well, it's the same as a Christian. As you walk with God, you should be developing and you should be growing. You shouldn't be the same place you were 5 years ago or 20 years ago or 5 months ago. Why? Because as you walk with God and as you know Him and as you commune with the Holy Spirit and you walk in the grace of God and you understand the love of God and the truth of God, you should be developing on the inside and developing fruit on the outside. You should be developing a kinder nature and a softer heart and a love for the truth. And you should be developing. You should be growing. And sometimes we just need to slow down and read three chapters of the Bible instead of hearing a bunch of definitions and explanations. And I'm not against that. We do it every single week. But sometimes we just need to slow down and stop being in such a rush. You know why? Because growth with God, yes, it's developmental, but it is not a checklist. I read my Bible. I prayed. I tithed. I went to church. It's not a checklist that just I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. It's a relationship. It's not, God is not a robot. God is not a program. God is a being, a spiritual being that wants to have communion, wants to have fellowship with you. And so we need to slow down. We need to take our time to make sure that through as we are taught this stuff, we're not just hearing it, but we're applying it. In fact, the Word of God says in the book of James, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Well, sometimes we hear so much that we are like, what do I do? Do I do that? Do I do that? Because this week you told me to do this, and now this week you're telling me to do that. That's why I'm trying to slow down, and we're trying to talk about the same thing for a longer period of time so that we can digest it, so that we can take time to allow that to get into our spirits. God, what are you saying in this season? What do you want from us as the Well Fort Payne? So we're not just going to plow through this and we did a study in the gifts of the Spirit, so therefore we're a Spirit-filled, charismatic, you know, Holy Ghost-filled church, right? No, we're going to make sure that we're not ignorant when we come out of this. That's why we're going to take time, because I'll be honest with you. I actually held off a little bit longer on doing this series. Why? Because as your pastor, I wanted to take time that I had a better understanding of the gifts of the Spirit before I just started in the gifts of healing and the gifts of, because here's what happens. The gifts can get people very excited when you start telling them you have the gifts of the Spirit, but the Bible also says don't lay hands on anyone suddenly. And what happens is when we're ignorant and we have zeal with no knowledge, bad things happen. And we begin to do what they did in the Old Testament. We begin to offer profane fire on the altar of God. We begin to do things thinking that we're doing God a favor and thinking that we're doing what we're supposed to do, but we end up being like the seven sons of Sceva, where they looked at the demon-possessed men and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of them. And they said, Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, but we're going to strip you naked and kick your tail and send you out of here. Why? Because they were ignorant. They didn't truly know God. So our goal really is to get to know the Holy Spirit. Because if we get to know the Holy Spirit and have communion with Him, He will release the gifts in your life. It's not some, and so many people see the gifts of the Spirit as like this mystical, magical thing of, oh, they have the gifts. Well, so do you if you would just earnestly desire them. And if you would do this, we're going to talk about this more later. If you would pursue love instead of pursuing the gifts of the Spirit. What does 14:1 say? Pursue love and desire the gifts of the Spirit. But so many times we're pursuing the gifts more than we are pursuing love. But if I love Shane and I want only God's best for him, the Lord will release the gifts of the Spirit to flow through me to be imparted into Shane's life. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, I desire to come to you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. Meaning, I want to be with you so bad so that I can give you a spiritual gift. He wasn't pursuing the gifts for him. He wanted the gifts for them. And so if we pursue love and if we love people, God will release the gifts to come to us. And so I wanted you to get the context and the full spectrum of what Paul is saying regarding the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to reiterate something that I said last week. The gifts of the Spirit are not something to be intimidated by or scared of. No matter what you've seen in the past, no matter what you've been taught in the past, they are not something to be scared of. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are simply manifestations of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is your comforter, your convictor, your teacher, your guide through life. And so he's only going to usher good things to come through you. God would never tell us to desire something that is bad or harmful for us. And as you read these three chapters, you come to the understanding that the primary purpose of these nine gifts is simply the edification of the church. Hopefully you got that as we were reading this, that God gives the gifts of the Spirit to each one. It says that in verse 7. It says he gives to each one and he releases them, but it's all for the edification of the church. It's never to make us some spiritual hotshot or a big deal. I've seen so many people, they think they're all that in a bag of chips because they've operated in the gifts of the Spirit. No, it's the Spirit of God inside of a man that brings forth these gifts because they're his gifts. And I want you to know that also this, you have a part in the body of Christ. Every single person here, no single person is exempt, unneeded, unwanted. That's what we just read earlier. He said every single part, even the parts that seem like they're not as important, we bestow greater honor on those. So even if you feel like, well, I don't lead worship and I don't sing and I'm not a deacon and I'm not a pastor, so maybe I'll just come and I'll just be a part of the church and you begin to feel lesser about yourself. No, he wants to use you to impart something into something else, not just here, but when you're at work and when you're at home and when you're hanging out or when you're going to the restaurant or when you're getting gas. He wants to use you because you're a part of the body of Christ. That means you may be a hand that's reaching out. You may be a foot that is walking and taking. You may be a heart that is feeling and that has compassion and has mercy. And so I want you to know no one is unneeded. No one is unimportant. And listen, I don't say that to you just to be nice, okay? I don't say that just to make you feel better. I say it because it's true. It's in the Word of God. But because I want you to understand this, with that comes a responsibility. It's not just a, oh, wow, I'm an eye, I'm an ear, I'm a foot, I'm a hand. I can operate in the gifts of healing. I can operate in... No, I say that to bring responsibility. One, to bring inclusion. Two, to bring responsibility so that you realize you're a part, you're welcome, you're needed, you're wanted. But next week, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about unity because I think it's so interesting that Paul introduces spiritual gifts and he lists them all and he immediately starts talking about unity amongst the body. And then, after that, he starts talking about love. And then he tells us how they should operate in the church. So, he introduces the idea, then he talks about unity, and then love, and then he gives us instruction how to use them. And so, we're over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about unity, and then we're going to talk about love. Because if we don't have unity and we don't have love, we won't have the gifts of the Spirit flowing and operating. Because that's what he taught us through the Word of God. So, we're going to look at these things, because unity and love are the glue that holds everything together. Okay? So, I'm going to give you some homework. I know that I thank you again for being here, especially those of you that have children. And just appreciate your steadfastness and your faithfulness to be here. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. This week, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 1 Corinthians 13:13. Okay? That's where he talks about unity in through love. I want you to just read that as you can. Maybe when you're on your lunch break, pull your YouVersion app out or pull your Bible out and just read it a few times over and over again. Maybe once you complete, I also want to ask you this with this homework. Please don't let this be in place of your daily Bible reading. Let this be extra, okay? That's what I would do. This week, I would finish my daily Bible reading, and then I would read these chapters in addition to, okay? So don't use this to replace it. But here's the other thing. Two things. Read 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13:13. And secondly, choose someone in the church to pray for every single day this week. Choose one specific person. That's prayer is one of the greatest ways to unity. So choose someone. I'm going to choose, and I try to pray for each of you as much as I can and as much as you come to my mind and every single day. But I'm going to ask that you guys, that you would choose one person that you know of in the church and that you would pray for them. Even you children, choose one person. Choose one of your friends that goes to church here. And parents, remind your children, hey, have you prayed for the person you're praying for this week? And we are going to pray and cover, protect, pray blessings over our fellow church members this week. That's your homework for this week. If you can, read 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13:13 and pick someone and pray for them every single day this week. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? I'm going to say a quick word of prayer and then pronounce the Aaronic blessing over you. So good to see you tonight. Feel free to take a few moments and hang out together after service is over. I know they'll be completing Starting Point and youth here in a little bit, but I didn't want to take too much more of your time, especially with the children being in here. But if you would, just close your eyes and bow your heads with me. Father, I come before you tonight. I thank you for communion with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just say that you're welcome in this church to move and to operate whenever, however you want to. We submit and yield ourselves to you. We thank you for your kindness, O God, that leads us to repentance. We thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your word that teaches us and instructs us. And we thank you for one another, God. And I pray that you would help us to remember this week to find someone this to pray for and to cover them and to pray for their family and to just lift them up and bring them before you, God. I thank you for the body of Christ as a whole, Lord, and I just pray that you would release revival, strength, and improvement in the condition of your body and of this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.